Today we are going to continue with the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus. And let me just recap of what we've covered so far. Somebody told me this morning, Pastor Pierce, your sermon last week was great. I really can't remember what it was. I mean, does that happen to you? I really don't, but then I just thought, yeah, I remember what it was, right? Because you indulge in the next chapter, you're just thinking about the new topic that you will be preaching on. Sometimes you do forget, and it's okay. But now that I remembered, the entire letter of Paul that was written from a prison cell, or he was under house arrest. We don't know where he was. Maybe he was in Rome or Ephesus. It could be either. He writes this letter to the church that he planted. And what fascinates me is that, sometimes as Christians we get very discouraged of what's happening in the world. I mean, imagine now planting a new church in New York City or in a place like London when there's so much anti-Christianity, people are anti-faith. But remember, it is not our work. Sometimes we take these ministries of God as we make it our own. It's all about us. It's all about, it is God who brings people to faith. God who convicts people. We just have to show up and make fools of ourselves. And God uses our foolishness to really do amazing miracles in people's lives. And this is what the Apostle Paul believed in. Not in his own strength, and he says this over and over and over. He says, if I could boast, I would boast in the Lord Jesus and nothing else. But he goes right into the heart of Ephesus, and he preaches the gospel, and boom, there's a church. Now, the church in Ephesus looked exactly like this. I mean, it was just high-end, high-tech, not really. Do you want a church like that?
No.
No? Thank God. But there is this church. We're going to go to this church. Do you know what church this is? Crystal Cathedral. It looks very crystally.
The Catholic Cathedral.
Yes. Don't take my sermon over again. Come on. Work 10 hours on that phrase. Now he's over. Now he's going to come to that. He finds a church in Ephesus, and you've got believers. What makes a believer? A believer is somebody who's convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And something happens inside. It's not a mind game, it's a heart game. And the heart has changed, and that person will follow Christ no matter the cost. Because once you see the light, it's very hard to go back into darkness. And a lot of people see it, and maybe 20 or 30 of them in Ephesus, they come together and they form the church. I mean, the church becomes so strong in its faith that even Jesus talks about that in the book of Revelations in chapter 2, where it says, boy, you guys are so strong in your faith, but this is what I have against you. Eventually it says, you've gone lukewarm. And what happens in the Christian life when you take things for granted? You say, I know where I stand, and you forget the basics at times, and then you go lukewarm, and then the devil loves to come in and just, do his thing, right? So that's what he's writing. He's writing from the very beginning to the Ephesians, and he's saying, look, I am so proud of your faith. And he also says, I'm so proud the way you help each other. And what makes a church? What makes a church? It's the Holy Spirit that makes a church. It's not this building. Now, let me give you just a little bit of history of human race. Human race has always been divided, right? Don't tell me that there's been peace and tranquility among human race. Since the Tower of Babel, God brought confusion upon the human race, and they start speaking in different languages, and they form different tribes, they form different races, and everybody hated each other. So the issue becomes is that the races have, since that time, they've always hated each other. There's always prejudice. Let's not kid ourselves. So what we do is we bring politicians, as I said last week, we try to bring peace to a situation. We call it the race issue. The real issue is the heart issue. Because, people naturally are equipped to hate others out of jealousy, out of their old nature. So there's nothing, no matter how many hours you spend to bring peace to a situation, it's temporary and it will fail. And we call it, I love the way the Protestants and Catholics agreed, and that peace was called the Northern Ireland Peace, right? or we call it the process, peace process. You know, my peace did not take process in my heart. Boom, it happened. And I just have to remind myself is I will lose that peace if I'm not engaged with Christ. But today's politicians are fantastic. You get votes by saying the right things. I mean, say, for lying for the right things, right? There will be no peace on earth, my friends. Let me just tell you that bad news. And the good news is, there's only peace amongst one race. Oh, that sounds very terrible. One race has perfect peace. And it is the race that is found in Jesus Christ. Whereas there's no color, no language, no tribe. And people don't understand that. The problem becomes is today's church bought into the ideas of the world and forgotten that peace comes under new humanity that Christ has established. It's called His kingdom. You forget that, you cannot bring peace. Unfortunately, many clergies, many got involved into this political mentality saying, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. You need to bring Christ to the situation. He is the Prince of Peace, isn't He? Now, back to the church. The church is not a building. But somehow, we human beings love real estate. We love it. It's been always with us. Let's build something, right? There was this guy, I think it's a joke. If I don't tell it right, just correct me. He goes to an island. He's all by himself. And after years, he builds three churches, right? And then eventually, he's found. And somebody says, "What are these three buildings?" He says, "Oh, these are my three churches." And he says, "Well, why do you need three? You don't need one." He says, "Well, this is the church that I used to go to. This is the church, just I don't believe in." And this is the church I attend now. It's all about buildings, right? And unfortunately, human race, from the very beginning, we've always been consumed with buildings. And we love places. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a place. I think places create certain discipline within us. There are places that are, I wouldn't call them sacred. Because according to, you know, the prince of all preachers, Spurgeon, there's no place holy except in the presence of God. So the ground does not become holy. God is holy. You know how many times over the years people have asked me to sanctify their cars by praying over them? And I did it like a foolish guy. I didn't want to offend people. I said, "Lord, bless this car." And I'm thinking within myself, what am I doing? And they were like, "Amen. Can you just add a few more sentences, Pastor?" "Yes, and protect it from all accidents." What if the person is just closing their eyes and driving the car? I've done a lot of foolish things in ministry just because I did not want to offend people. Now I offend people and I look foolish. Places are not holy. They're just buildings. We do not worship buildings. We worship God, who just called us together because you are the building of God. I am the building of God. No wonder people got really annoyed at Jesus when he says, "I'm going to destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days." They did not understand that he's talking about his temple, the body. They were so interested in the building. Now, this building cost a lot of money under Dr. Schuller to be built. Dr. Schuller was a very famous preacher. He was a godly man, you know. But, you know, you start always good. And I do believe Dr. Schuller's utter goal was to bring glory, and he's got great sermons online and all that. And this is the man, you know, most probably you recognize his face, and he became a celebrity. You know, this is the problem with the Christian world, is that once you become a bit popular in your preaching, they make you a celebrity. Stay away from that. Stay away from the limelight. Stay under the light of Christ. You better not be known by anybody, but be known by Christ who has called you. And this man has done a great job. Unfortunately, he passed away. Unfortunately, you know, he lived a long life and he died. And his son took over the ministry. You know, again, that's a whole different sermon. You know, father, son, and family run churches. Have you ever been to churches that are run really by family members? Yeah, I have. I just run away. The church just went bankrupt a few years ago. I mean, this is one of the churches that was just had so much wealth. You know, it was every pastor's dream to preach from a pulpit like this. Not mine, because, you know, you have to have certain standards there, and you have to buy a new suit. Just you know, the church closed down, and people just started going to other churches. Some people just stopped going to church. And the Catholic Church, thanks, Ken, Catholic Church bought it. And then they just renovated it. They spent almost $80 million on it. Yeah, $80 million on the building. And there are 11 types of services there. And you see the building, how important a role it plays. And then we talk about, you know, justice. The church should not be preaching about justice when it's not putting their money where justice should be. You know, the buildings are here today, they're going to go tomorrow. But imagine if that, I'm not criticizing it, but I'm just talking loud. Imagine that $80 million plus the money that they bought the building, how beautifully it would have been spent by changing lives in many parts of the world. Every golden chalice that is on a church, in a church building, every golden cross that is in a church building should be sold and replaced by wooden ones. Because Jesus died on a wooden cross. And that is biblical. If you want to remember the Lord, remember Him simply. And but places of worship are fascinating. We have always been fascinated. This building, St. Peter's Basilica, was purchased by selling a lie in the 1500s. You know, during Martin Luther's time, it's not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the German guy, who was a monk, who was a lawyer, who was a teacher. The Pope wanted to build a beautiful basilica in Rome. He says, all right, who wants to go to heaven? All right, there's a price to pay. A piece of paper signed by the Pope can buy you heaven. And a lot of people purchased it. It was called an indulgence. Indulgence was, you know, if you were poor, you paid so much. If you were rich, you paid so much. If you had somebody who was dead already, you want to buy their souls to go from purgatory, but it's not in the Bible, to heaven, you could even buy their souls and just purchase the soul to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to do that? And this church and the money went to Rome. I mean, everybody was like, ooh, we have so much money now. We could build a beautiful building. And look at this building. I mean, we don't talk about the ugly part. We always talk about the great part, right? Beautiful building. How did you build it? Well, the Pope had power and we did this. Is it biblical? Absolutely, yes. Because the Pope is the head of the church. But why is he not married? Oh, we don't. Peter was the first head of the church. He was married. And you go into all these debates. But no one wants to answer because politically it's incorrect. Let's talk about this beautiful church. Let's not talk where the money came from. Right? But my friends, it's not about buildings, but human beings have been obsessed by buildings. This is the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus. It was one of the beautiful wonders of the world where people came from all over the world. It doesn't look like this anymore. It's all in ruins. And they paid tons of money. If you could not have a baby, if you were having issues with having a baby, you brought your wife to this. It was always the wife's problem, not having a baby. You brought her to the temple, and those priests, there were prostitutes. They prayed over these people because the goddess of fertility, Artemis, lived there. And they brought a lot of money in the temple. And Paul comes and preaches against this. Go and figure. Paul, leave us alone. No wonder they put him in jail. He can't speak the truth and not have enemies. Do not ever expect in life to speak the truth and people not hate you. It goes hand in hand. You want everybody to love you, of course. But you're going to compromise your faith to do that. You are naturally going to build your enemies. Now, the Jews had a beautiful temple. It was not God's idea. God never said to anybody, I want a temple. He was very happy to live in a box. Right? The tabernacle, they carried it from one, and it had the Ten Commandments. Everybody, every nation says, we have it. You know, I have it. It's right here. It's right here, actually. Right within me. But the temple became such an important element in their lives that in Jeremiah it says that people were saying, if I'm in the temple of the Lord, three times you have to say, if I'm in the temple of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord, then I'm safe. Do you see the superstitious stuff that kicks in? It was David's idea. David said, how can I live in a palace where God lives in a tent? I want to build a temple. temple for the Lord. And God says, you're not going to build one yourself, bro. But I don't need one. I'm happy. The world is my temple. No, no, we want to build one. And they started worshiping the place versus the God of the place. It's so easy to be trapped in that. So easy. Do you know a lot of churches why they are suffering today? 50 years ago, they worshiped their buildings. When faith was not implanted in people's hearts, people disappeared, and these buildings need a lot of money to upkeep. They don't worship them anymore because they're costing them. I was just sharing with Matthew earlier that a lot of churches in London, they are found in central locations, great, great properties. They're falling apart. Developers are coming and saying, oh, you beautiful Christians, who are like 10 of them now, and they're in their 80s, we will build you a beautiful church. We'll give you a room, but give us the land. We're going to build a building, a lot of apartments, but you could have your own church and you don't have to pay anything for it. So a prime location in the cities of whether it's New York or London, they are being sold to developers simply because people cannot afford to keep buildings anymore. The dangers of buildings, they are here today and they are gone tomorrow. But the temple of the Holy Spirit is within our bodies. That's what the Bible says. And that's where we need to invest. The most that we need to invest. Now here, boy, no wonder I couldn't see it. Are you there? Here, there's so many wars that have taken place over the years. The Aqsa Mosque, where Abraham's tomb is found inside. Now the Jews claim it to be their own, and then the Muslims claim it to be their own, and they fight over it. It is just a real estate. It's just a piece of building. But do you see? When we worship places and forget the living God, what happens? Galatians 10 says that we are crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the Spirit of God, when He lives in us, it changes us. And Scripture also tells us that we are God's temple. Do you ever think about your body as God's temple? Because we always don't think about ourselves that great. You know, who am I for God to live in me? Nobody. But God, who made your body just the way it is, tall, large, thin, big, whatever it is, you know, and that temple, it's temporary, has an expiry date. But within that period, God chose to live in you and be the church through you. That is what God is saying. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't buy into this because it's too easy, right? But imagine if every one of us lived accordingly. Now, we are the body of Christ, and we are individually made members of it through His Spirit. Whether you are young or old, you are part of that body. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. Remember Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman? And the woman said, you know, we worship here, and you Jews worship on Mount Zion. And Jesus says, there's a time coming where true worshipers will not worship on this mountain or worship on that mountain, but they will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what true worship is. Comes from within. And it doesn't matter where your surroundings, whether it has big stained glass windows, small stained, it doesn't matter. You are the church. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You know, it's very interesting. He's addressing the Pharisees there. But do you know how many people approach God with lip service? This is my story. Do you have a story? What do you mean with a story? Yes, my culture, my heritage, my this, or my that, or my nation, or my patriotism, or it means nothing. You know, when you worship, something happens inside of you. It comes from within. You know you're a broken person. You know you're not a perfect person. But what you're doing is a miracle in itself. Because it's not about you. That's why I said last week, for the first time, I said to you, if you know a person in your life that is just a hindrance to God's kingdom. If you hate them, you've got a problem. But if you detach yourself from them and you pray for the following, Lord, you know how much I don't like this person, but I want to detach myself from them because I really am interested in their salvation. I pray that they will come to faith. I truly believe that you could do this, Lord. Bring them to faith so that there's rejoicing in heaven. But if it's not according to your will, remove them, Lord. Uproot them. So that your kingdom work is not affected by these people. But I always said, you know, you have to be very careful that the Spirit is leading you. Detached from your personal desires, you're doing this for the kingdom of God. Now that, my friends, is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because you're interested in God's kingdom versus your kingdom or your desires. You always want to punch somebody that you don't like, right? It's natural. Don't pray that prayer. But pray it when you do believe that you want these people to come to faith so that there's rejoicing in heaven. And if not, Lord, remove them because they are a hindrance to God's kingdom, to your kingdom. And pray genuinely. But you can only do that if you pray in spirit and in truth. And you worship God in spirit and in truth. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The most important part of the temple is the cornerstone. You know, buildings in the Jesus' time, and you see such buildings all over the Middle East. You know, arches that were built 2,000 years ago, they're still there. You know that there are sewage systems that were built in London by the Romans almost 2,000 years ago, they're still there functioning? I mean, these things, you know, you always have to buy made in Rome if you bought it. Right? It's not made in China or made in this. Some Chinese products are great, cheap, but good. Cornerstone was one of the most important parts of the building because everything else rested on it. You know, we talk about cornerstones, but sometimes we don't know what cornerstone is. Everything else, if the cornerstone was weak, everything else was weak. Now, the Bible says that Jesus should be our cornerstone. Who is your cornerstone? Now that I've covered the introduction, let's go to the sermon. It comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2. I was going to skip over this. Honest truth, I was, it's just a few verses. Let's just go to chapter 3. But the more I read it, the more I said, boy, what were you thinking? I wasn't. But. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. He's talking to us. We're not born Jews, but, you know, we came to faith. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are members of God's family. You know, it's good to belong to a family, isn't it? You know, there's nothing worse in life. I was watching a documentary on a news channel. It was talking about a group of people, second generation, third generation, who don't have citizenship, who don't have any rights. And they were living all their lives miserably because no one was giving them jobs because they could not obtain nationalities. See, 500 years ago, their ancestors were Bedouins. They traveled from one land to the other. And then eventually they settled in a land, but the government never recognized their, you know, roots, so they never gave them nationalities. They can't even purchase a nationality. So they were living hopelessly. And not belonging somewhere is a terrible thing, isn't it? I mean, I always think about Amish people who shun one of their, you know, members for wearing makeup, maybe. Oh, we don't want the devil amongst us, let's shun them out. Or you're shunned from a community because you don't believe in what the community believes. Whether right or wrong, you see? So being shunned is from a community, it hurts. You want to belong because we are created to be communitarian. But my friends, don't belong to any community on earth before you belong to the community of heaven. And the citizenship and the membership for that community can only take place through the blood of Christ. That's why here he's saying you're no longer foreigner. You belong to Christ. And then he goes on and he says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, there are a lot of churches today, unfortunately, they are built on the foundation of celebrities. Some doctrines, I'm shocked. I say, how do you believe in that? It's not even biblical. They say, Pastor, it's the 21st century. It's time to move on. I said, I'm very happy in my old-fashioned ways. It is scary stuff. People are buying into lies. Any teaching that is preached from pulpits that are not based on apostolic and apostolic teaching, biblical teaching, we must not only question it, but reject it. That's false teaching. Today, it saddens me to say, there are many of my colleagues who believe in so many things. I was just sharing with my wife about a person that we know. I thought, you know, person was very, they live overseas, they were solid missionaries. Over the years, they've changed. And she puts things on her Facebook that are utterly unbiblical. And she does this in the name of tolerance. My heart breaks. My heart utterly breaks. I don't want to address these things on social media. But I want to call her and say, what the heck is going on with you? You should know better. You are missionaries. It's my responsibility to call a brother or a sister who is going astray back to where they need to be. Not because I'm better. That's what God's word calls us to do. And do it in love. They might reject you. They might just say, as people say, you're so close-minded. I think me? Well, you don't know me. But when it comes to the Bible, I'm very limited in what I can accept or reject. Because it's not mine. I'm a steward of it. And then eventually, and we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. My friends, you are the church. I don't know, you know, sometimes you might not think you're that great, or, you know, you're tired. Do you ever feel tired of just spiritual walk? There's so many, you know, you try to do this and something else happens. Lord, do you ever feel like that? No? You need a therapist. No, you just need to go to Jesus. Your body is important not because of how it looks, but whom it contains. That's why as Christians, we don't believe in suicide. We really don't. You know, my heart breaks. There was this 17-year-old in Holland last year. She decided to terminate her life. The government supported her just because she was depressed. It happened. Legally, she went through it. You know, your heart breaks about the crazy things that are happening. You know, the body is extremely interesting. I was just at another place this week. You know, I haven't been there for 6 months. And the guy, I took my son, actually. And the guy was telling me about how all the horrible things had happened since I was away for 6 months. And then he was telling me about this 52-year-old man, you know, just took his life and questioning God and all that. I said, he must have been in a very dark place. You know, I understand there are some things that are beyond us. People do commit certain things that are just, it's beyond their capability of reasoning and all that. I understand that. I'm just saying, people who just plan just to end their lives because they cannot take it anymore. Especially in the light of the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, we don't destroy it. That's why till the end we take care of it. There's a time that it's going to expire, but we are called to take care of it. You know, that's why we just do not want to indulge and just drink our heads off or smoke our heads off or become so extreme in certain things that we are destroying the body. We need to take care of it because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is important. God gave it to you. And you know what the good news is? He knows every single cell in it. formed you before the world ever came together. He had you in mind. So act accordingly, live accordingly. You are very special for Him. And all the surrounding issues that happen in life will not go away. You know, it's funny. You just work over one thing. You say, boy, something else comes, right? It's always there. It's not going to go away. It's just how you handle it. Do you handle it by yourself or you handle it with Christ? Even sometimes with Christ, you're just too tired. You say, give me a break. Some people just have no breaks. I think God gives us the grace that we need as well. We don't sometimes feel it. That's why it's so important to surround ourselves with people who have the same spirit. So that we say, you know what? I'm here, man. What can I do? Can you wash my car? I will wash your car, and I'm going to polish your shoes as well. No, you don't have to. I'm going to do that. And let everybody talk about it. I ran out of battery. That means finish the sermon. Kent, was this you?
No.
All right. I think it just ran out of battery. Do not ever give up meeting one another, as some are in the habit of doing. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul preached this. Do not stop meeting with one another. It's so important because that's what the church is. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Do not ever walk. See, if everybody was the head, we will have problems. The problem is everybody wants to be a leader today. Have you noticed what's happening to our world? Everybody wants to be a leader and we are running out of followers. Just be who God has called you to be. For His glory, now and forever. Amen. We're going to end this service. We're also going to bring our offerings. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And the chorus, it says, how marvelous, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be that He is my Savior who loves me. Let's all stand and sing this together.
Ah!
Let us pray, Lord. We are grateful and thankful for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for these gifts. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of your Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us and our loved ones, now and forever. Amen. There's more bagels downstairs. If you want to join there? And more fellowship. I'm going to get some more cards.